Really quickly, and so that we can have maybe a little more discussion. As I mentioned earlier, there wasn't a lot of occupational health and safety work being done out there. There was a recent study by NIOSH. I'll talk a little bit about it, but our biggest issue that we're seeing is transportation. In the gas extraction business, we're looking at, which is normally the big issue of fatalities, our road transportation fatalities. In the past, we were looking at about 20 deaths a year. It's recently been dropping. We like to attribute a lot of that to the recession, more so than safety and health measures being taken place. The numbers here we see here is in the last couple of years, like I say, they drop off. But we really believe that the biggest problem we're seeing for worker safety is in work zone safety, roadway safety. Many of these, as you were mentioning earlier, the truck traffic is increasing on roads that are really rural roads, and you got 18-wheelers now. So I represent a union that we go in and we actually widen roads for many of these areas in order for the trucks to come in and go through. But they're not really preparing the roads for work zone safety. And when these roads are private roads, then the federal Department of Transportation requirements no longer kick in. And that's where we see the biggest problem in terms of worker health and safety, and that's where we'd like to see some definite improvements. And I agree with a lot with the other speakers were saying, but a lot of the hazards workers are facing in fracking are just not that new. You know, we've been dealing with transportation issues for years. It's whether they're going to apply the controls and the abatements we know that work. And a lot of times they never want to do it until after effect. And I resent the fact that we have to rely on retrospective studies. We have to wait till someone dies before we do something. And again, primary source of fatalities are trucks, and that's just the way it is. This is the only data we've seen is from the data that's come out of the NIOSH study. Sitting here today, I'm suddenly concerned more about worker exposure to flowback water at a couple of frac sites. I have been on flowback water is everywhere. There are pools of collecting pools. They're just everywhere. And looking at what we're talking about today, no one's really talking about work because we do handle that water. A lot of times when we're talking about fracking, folks are always talking about all the chemicals. In terms of worker exposures, they're talking about all the chemicals in fracking, but for the most part, most of the chemicals are carbon in, and there's not a lot of worker exposures other than switching a valve and turning on a pump. Now, there is the big issue of, according to NIOSH, diesel particulate from all the vehicles out there, and it's likely a health hazard. We still have not characterized the risk and the scale of it, but there's likely a hazard. The VOC compounds, as Dr. Vitter was talking about, naphthalene, benzene, toluene, ethyl benzene, and I believe xylene. Again, we're not probably seeing a hazard there. We're not probably seeing a hazard from hydrogen sulfide or the acid gases or the aldehydes at the levels that would be beyond what OSHA or NIOSH would recommend. What we are seeing a big problem in is with silica. And again, we see silica as a chemical, and the problem with silica is it's sand. So they don't treat the silica like they do the rest of their chemicals. They truck it in. And the sand is trucked in, and it's used as a propant. When they blast the water into when they frack it into the wells, they crack the rocks open. The sand goes into the rocks to hold the cracks open so that the gas will seep out. So we're looking at 40, 50 tons of sand per well. And that's, you know, when NIOSH showed up at some of these fracking sites, you know, the word is chemicals, chemicals, chemicals. But immediately, as a trained industrial hygienist, he knew right away that the issue is the sand for workers. Silicosis is the big issue. It's incurable, irreversible, and progressive. It leads to occupational carcinogen, and it also complicates tuberculosis. You know, we're used to seeing silica and exposures in cementing jobs, and generally what we use is water to control it. sand transfer operations. Again, when we're dealing with the chemicals on fracturing sites, we carboid them in. There's really not a lot of exposures, but when we're track bringing in sand, we pile it all in the truck, cover it up, and send it in. We throw the truck on these refilled, we throw the sand on these refill trucks and conveyor belts and blender hoppers to mix it in with the chemicals before we pump them down into the well. It creates this very, very dusty environment. And what NIOSH found is that, as Roxanne was talking about earlier, of the samples they took at work sites all across the country in varying climates and varying elevations, which is very important when you're doing breathing zone sampling, that a majority of them exposed workers above permissible exposure limits. Some of the differences I want to say here that we believe the OSHA permissible exposure level is too low. Based on the level it is, if workers were wearing what we call half-face respirators, they are technically in compliance with the government. They're not in compliance with us health professionals, as Roxanne was saying earlier, because they do exceed what we would need for them to have versus NIOSH. But the NIOSH exposure limits are not enforceable. There is a silica standard sitting on the desks of OMB right now that will not be released because we're in the middle of an election campaign. And if that ever went through, we would probably end up lowering silica permissible exposure limits to silica to a level that's consistent with what we see with the rest of the world, the Western world at least. Really quickly, just so that maybe we can get to a few more questions, some conclusions we're looking at. When I say silica is a serious concern, but it can be easily controlled, I don't mean easily, but we do have abatements that we can use to control it. We can baghouse the sand procedures. We can enclose the entire sand transfer process so that we're not exposing the entire world to dusty environments and silicosis, just like we do with the chemicals. And as I said earlier, a silica standard would really be helpful to lower the permissible exposure limit so that right now, if they just threw half-face respirators on these workers based on the NIOSH limits, they would probably be in compliance in many cases. They're 10 times over the NIOSH limits where the concern is. And we're concerned about that. So, you know, we can control it, but we really still need a standard so that we can get better controls to help workers out. According to NIOSH, diesel particulate is a likely health hazard, but we're not getting access to do more studies. There needs to be greater emphasis on highway work zone safety. Like I said, there was 10 to 12 deaths per year, and that's what we would call deaths due to safety. In my profession, based on studies, if you multiply that by 10 to get deaths due to health reasons, so if there are 10 deaths due to safety issues, there's probably 100 deaths due to health considerations per year. So like nationally, we're looking at 5,000 deaths a year due to safety issues and workplace issues across all industries, but there's probably more like 50,000 deaths per year due to deaths from health insults, benzene, asbestos, and so on. We do believe that greater transparency and access, increased access to the work sites to do the study so that we don't, as Dr. Goldstein says, have to go back and do retrospectives and then start pointing fingers. And if I had a chance to put another bullet on here, we now have to look at how are we handling this wastewater when we bring it back up, because we are bringing it back up, and then many times we're putting it back in the store depending on the rules and how the game is played, where you're at. I'm not confident that we're treating that wastewater with the respect that it deserves. So I think that's something that I know I'm charged from this meeting going forward and looking into. I'd like to bring everyone back up really quickly. I think we have a couple of minutes maybe. Is it 6 o'clock? No, we're out of time. Oh, sorry. Have any questions for me really quick? Yes.
Whether there is exposure, because there's a lot of literature indicating that people are in the health.
Well, no, we're, from the occupation perspective, we're talking about exposure to workers, yes, because you have all these trucks in a really small environment and a lot of workers, and they're running on diesel, and you got a lot of machinery running on diesel, and that's the concern. Really quickly, last question. More like six.
That's what they're there for. If we need people to come, can you give us a report? I don't think I'm allowed to do that, actually.
Dr. Golson.
Quick, you mentioned that November 9th, a week from Friday, the third annual meeting in Pittsburgh at the Graduate School of Public Health on Health and Marcella Shale. So there's a whole day long presentations on this subject.
Man, this was great. I have really, really enjoyed this one. Thank you all for coming.